Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me. With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray that you've had a good night and that you're walking close with the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. And you know, I pray that before this day's over, you'll even be closer. All right, let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, we open your word. We ask the Holy Spirit to come forward to be with us, to give us the guidance, Father, that we need, and to open our hearts and minds to be receptive to this, the word of Almighty God. And Father, we're asking the Holy Spirit now to come forward to teach this morning, this Bible study. And we ask all of this in that sweet, precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, we're going to be in the 18th chapter here of Luke. So, as we get started here, verse 1 says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not," this word faint means to lose heart, and precisely when tempted to give up, men ought to be strong in our way so that we don't give up on praying. But that's not true for most. Most are just not strong enough with the Lord Jesus Christ to have a good prayer life. And it takes that talking with God. To bring you the blessings that you need in order to make it through this life as his child. All right. You know, You see, God loves us all. He loves all of mankind. He does not want to see anyone lost. But he gave mankind choice, and mankind is choosing to turn their back on him and walk away from him. And that's exactly what happened in our country, the land here in which we live. That was exactly what they done. And we had those that are listening to Satan that is so evil that they have come against our children. Think about this. They've come against our children. You know, when I was going to school, we started our school day out with prayer. And then we had scripture reading. And then we all had been given verses to learn, and we would stand and recite those verses. That was the beginning of our school day. And look what happened. The very first place they took our Lord and Savior out of was our school for our children. And then they wanted him out of our public places. So they didn't want prayer ended with his name. Don't use his name in prayer. Not in public. It was banned. But you see, those that truly belong to him don't listen to that ban. Anywhere I'm at and where I'm praying, I end my prayer in Jesus' name, just like I'm supposed to do. Because you see, the word tells us, in Jesus' name, and I will hear from heaven. And you know that if I hear from heaven, I'll grant your wishes. Now, that's providing your wishes are in accordance with God's word. But if it's something that is against God's word, then no, he's not going to let you have it. Now, here in verse 2, we're going to get into this parable. Verse 2, Jesus saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. Now, you know, it doesn't tell us what her adversary was, but anyway, she's wanting this judge to avenge her, to take care of that for her. For, and he would not for a while, but afterward, he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man. Here this judge is. He has no fear of God, so you know he's not a God man. And he don't regard mankind either. He's all for himself. But yet now he's thinking. 5. Yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continued coming she worry me. You see, actually, she keeps going and going and going with this. Till today we'd say she's getting into his head, bugging him. That's what it amounts to. Now, so he's going to give in and take care of whatever this is for her. Now, 6. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. 7. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you, 8, that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? You know, if an unjust judge acts in this way, how much more hope can you and I have that God, however, will be faithful with us? You see, we know he will be, because he is the greatest of judges. And we know that he is faithful. He keeps his promise. He cannot lie. And he wants to give us what we need. Now, he may not give us a lot of frills that we want, because they may not be good for us and could hurt us. But you see, he knows that, and we may not know it. We may ask him for something that really we're a lot better off without. And when that's the case, he's not going to give us something to hurt us. God's not going to do that. Now, 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. So we've got another parable here we're dealing with. 10. 2 men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican. Well, we know what the publicans were. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. 12. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. 13. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. 14. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And you know, we always should go to God humbly to humble ourselves. We're not there to brag on what we can and what we have done or haven't done. Because truth known, most of the time we really don't know. We can talk to one to give you an example of what I'm talking about. We can have one that's out here walking in darkness, living in sin. And we can talk to them and see them in a few days, attend church somewhere, give their life to Jesus, and we can say and think, well, you know, I led him to the Lord. You know, that was a good thing I done. And it may have been because of someone else. But it just took time for him to think, or them to think, and to get it straight in their mind. We never really know, unless whatever it is happens instantly, not at that moment. And then we can't be reassured. Now, yes, we know if we fast, yes. But that's nothing to be out here bragging about. No. You see, that's what that one was doing. He was bragging about the things that he was doing. And depending on that. No. We do those things because we are the children of God. We love him. And that is part of his word and a way for us to be in contact with him and do the things he asked of us to do. God gives to us to build our pride. No. Now 15. They brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked him, or rebuked them. 16. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. You see, we have to be obedient unto God and his word, just as that child is obedient unto his. That's what God's trying to show us here. We will always have to be in obedience as a child to our Heavenly Father. It doesn't matter how old we are. And we will have to be in obedience unto his word. 17. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Uh-oh. How are you standing with God? Are you standing today as his child? Or are you on your own? Big shot. better not be standing as a big child. You better be standing as that humble child with your dependence and your trust on him. You see, that child, not only does that child love his mother and dad, but he depends on them for everything he needs. And that's what you and I are supposed to be doing when it comes to our Father in heaven. Putting our dependence on him. 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" 19. And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother." 21. And he said, "All these have I kept from my youth up." 22. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." Now, he told him, but what happened? What did he do? 23. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." You see what riches will do for you? Be careful what you wish for. Now, is it wrong to have money? No. What is wrong is, what do you do with it? Are you using it for the purpose of yourself and God? Doing what he wants done? Or are you putting that money before him and doing the things you want to do out here in the world? We are not of this world that belong to him. We're not of this world. We're just passing through it. And we are here to reach out to those that are still in need of light to help them by giving them the word and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and helping them to come to a knowledge that they need him in their life to come out of that darkness and come to him and his light repenting of their evil, putting their faith and their trust in Him, and changing their life so that they too can make heaven their home. Now, this one, you know, he just couldn't do that. Now, 26. And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? Now Jesus, he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. You see, if you are truly a man of God, you can have will, yes. Because you will use it according to the way God wants it used. He'll work with you. He's got work out there for those that have riches. Most of them don't do it. That's why he said it was easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Because most won't do it. They put their faith and all in their riches and continually wanting more. And they don't even think about the Lord God. And then you have a few that do think about God, and they'll do half of what they should be doing, but then the other half is still out here in this world. That don't work either. Because our life has to belong to Almighty God. It's not ours anymore. You see, if our life is ours, still ours, then we're not His. 28. Then Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. 29. And Jesus said, and he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. When we are following God, really serving Him, we can have more in this life than we're now living, but also everlasting life. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, and he's talking to his 12 disciples. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. He knows. You see, he knows what is to come. Now he's telling them, 32, for he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on and they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. He's told his 12 now. What is to happen? But now here's 12 that has been following him all through his ministry. And yet, they don't understand. 34. And they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. And actually, they should have known them, really. Even without him telling them. Because when they knew who he was, they should have known what the prophets of the old had prophesied of him. It was all recorded in the Torah. Their book at that time. But they wouldn't understand what they said. 35. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by. 38. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now here is a blind man that is calling him the son of David. He had to know from the old prophets and all, the birth line, the bloodline of the Lord Jesus Christ. And knew what he could do. And had faith that he would do it. 39. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. 40. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee. Thy faith has saved thee. You see, we don't receive anything from the Word or from Almighty God without faith. It takes that faith of God. Now, And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. You see, this is what we are needing in this day and time. Those that will put their faith in him to the point of doing the work he will call upon them to do. And he will put you to work if you will put your trust in him and spend time in prayer with him, talking to him, and spend time in listening for him to talk to you. And he talks to us. He has been talking to everyone this morning that has been listening to this study. How's he been talking to them? He's been talking to them through me because of his word. Because I have been reading you exactly his word. And that is where we get our knowledge from and our understanding and how to use it, what to do with it, and how it can help mankind. And let me tell you something, we're in great need today of all the help this land of ours can get, because it's in trouble, bad trouble. But God is beginning to work. I am seeing changes made in different places. He is beginning to work. How long it will take, only he knows. But his coming back for his church is not as far off as what most mankind want to believe. They think they've got all kinds of time. But you know, we never know how much time we have, because even if the world has a lot of time before he comes to the church, it don't mean he won't come for us as an individual. As we read just a little earlier, a few services back, the man wanted to tear down his barns and all, and build bigger to hold all he had so he could be at ease. And as the word put it, drink, be merry. And the Lord told him, thy food, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. We never know That's why he tells us, be ready for me, because we don't know when he's coming. We have come to the end now of chapter 18, and we will be going in to 19. Now 19 is verses long. God willing, we'll be getting in to that this evening at 6 p.m. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, we know that we're living in a day and time where mankind has walked away from you. He's gotten himself into a mess. Father, use us to help to bring this land back. Back to repentance, so that you can heal it, Father, and bring it back into being what it should be in accordance with you and your plans, Father. Now, Father, use us in great and mighty ways to be of help to those that are walking in darkness. Help us to help them, to bring them to light, that light being the Lord Jesus Christ, so that, Father, they can repent, be forgiven, their life being changed, and be walking along the pathway of righteousness in the light, serving you. We stand in need of a change in our leadership because we have so much evil in our leadership and the leadership of a lot of our churches even. I pray for you to help us to remove them from office and to replace them with your children, Father. Those that love you, that love the Lord Jesus Christ and loves this land. And help us to put our government back on the foundation in which this land was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And help us to put him back into every place he's been taken out of, and most especially back into our schools, Father, with our children. Father, those that listens to this ministry and has become part of it, Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, James Taylor, Amy, her husband Tom, her son Jacob, Bobby, and Millie Johnson, myself, Father, and our families. We all have family members that are walking in darkness. Holy Spirit, work with them. Work within our families. And help to bring them out of darkness and into the light. That light being Jesus Christ. So that they too can make heaven their home and not be lost. Now, Father, as we separate for this day to go our own ways to do the things we need to do today, Father, bless us. Keep us in health. Keep us safe. And bring us all back together again this evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time and back into your word. Father, this I ask. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, everyone. Have a great day. And hopefully be talking with you this evening at 6. Bye-bye now.